Welcome, Dave Naylor from TSN.ca, joining us this morning. How are you doing, Dave?
Very well. Pleased to join you guys.
Yeah, good to have you on again. This is really a really, really interesting story. And as you kind of did some research, you talked to Jerome Paython, and you talked to some of these young receivers. Is there a reason we're seeing all of a sudden all these Canadian receivers suddenly come to the fore playing U.S. college football?
Well, it's funny, you know, because I really have tracked sort of the development of football players from Canada into the NCAA and the NFL for 30 years. I mean, I remember in 1991, 92, covering, you know, Tyrone Williams from Western, who got drafted by the Arizona Cardinals and ended up winning a Super Bowl with the Dallas Cowboys. But since him, there have not been a lot. And he, and by the way, Tyrone's final NFL stats, one catch for 25 yards. So, you know, he didn't have a glorious career, but hey, he's also the answer to a trivia question, the only human being who has a Vanier Cup ring, a Grey Cup ring, and a Super Bowl ring. So
nice.
That's not a bad a bad trio to have. But since then, it's funny that it really hasn't happened very much. And I think one of the things is that, you know, if you're a high school player and you're an offensive or defensive lineman, let's say you're an offensive lineman and you're 6'5", you know, 270, and you can run and you've got great movement, even if you're not that developed as a football player, there's going to be a school that's going to take you. And you may not play till your third year, but there's just only so many human beings on the planet that have those dimensions that, you know, you can get into high-level football programs. With receivers, it's not so much. I mean, it's not a freakish body in most circumstances or measurables that make a receiver. Receivers kind of have to prove that they can play, that they can go up for the ball, they can win those battles, that they can run routes, all those kinds of things. So it's been a lot harder, you know, even for very good athletes to go from high school football in Canada, you know, to the big time in the NCAA. And that was Jerome Paython's experience, you know, coming out of high school in Vancouver. It was like nothing. And obviously this was a guy who was good enough to be a star in the NCAA and a pretty good NFL receiver, but coming out of high school in Canada, he couldn't get any takers. So if you look at the guys right now who are lighting it up in the NCAA, every one of them at some point, you know, left high school in Canada to go play in the U.S. And this is a real kind of, politically, it's a bit of a charged issue because, you know, Football Canada loves the fact they can point to these guys and say, look at what you can do playing football in Canada, growing up playing football in Canada. But at the same time, when you're skimming off the cream of the crop in high school and they're going to the U.S., it weakens the domestic product. But at the same time, you could look at a guy like, you know, John Metchie, the receiver at Alabama. If he had stayed in Canada, you know, how many corners are there in Canadian high school football that could match up with him? You know, you're just not going to get the same level of competition and coaching. So that's a big part of it. And and you just got more athletic players going to the game. I mean, you look at the wave of Canadian basketball players that have come through the NCAA starting, you know, 15 years ago, you're starting to see the same thing with very athletic guys at the receiver position. And it just, you know, it's one of those things that you just start looking at and you start adding up and you say, like, there has never been, you know, a class of receivers like this. I mean, Chase Claypool is 22, you know, and you look at, and the Joe is 18. If you look at the guys right now between those ages of 18 and 22, I don't think there's ever been a comparable class. And Claypool is the one exception to what I mentioned about the high school thing. He did complete his high school at Abbotsford, B.C., went on the camp circuit where you go to colleges with, you know, dozens or hundreds of other kids and try to impress, and he certainly did to get his opportunity at Notre Dame. But he's really the trailblazer of this new wave.
And to that, Dave, hey, recruiters can watch you on tape, but they're watching Canadian high school. Assumption, most cases, as you pointed out, you're not getting a scholarship unless you go down and they can have a cross-section of playing against the best of the best in the United States as well, right?
Well, it's true, and it's still an issue. Another player, you know, he's not a receiver, but he's a skill guy, is Chuba Hubbard at Oklahoma State. And he's another guy who did it right from Canadian high school, did not go to the U.S. He finished his high school in Edmonton. And it was funny, you know, when I was down at Oklahoma State about this time last year, and I had an opportunity to interview Mike Gundy, the head coach there, and he said, yeah, we weren't really sure what to make of his film because he wasn't playing against a whole bunch of athletes up there or something like that, right? And it was funny, one of the guys on the staff at Oklahoma State, when we were walking down the hall after a few tournament, he goes, Yeah, I kind of wish Coach Gundy hadn't quite described high school football in Canada that way.
he's usually politically correct in everything he says. Right?
Well, exactly. You get a little taste of why Mike Gundy sometimes, you know, rubs people. And I, you know what, I said to him, look, he's not wrong, right? When he's comparing it to the elite levels of high school football, and even though there's pretty good high school football in Edmonton, I know the point he was making. But yeah, bluntness has been a Mike Gundy trait for a long time, but that is an issue, right? And I think. Again, with Chuba, like Chuba was, I'm going to get this wrong, but like the fourth fastest under 18 in the world when he ran track, you know, for Canada. So, you know, a guy who, yeah, he hadn't played against the best talent in high school football, but he had a measurable quality that was world class. You know, there were only three guys in the world his age faster than him, you know. So that's part of why he was able to make that leap, you know, to the Big 12 playing at Oklahoma State and lighting it up. But for a lot of guys, unless you have that freakish measurable quality, you know, you're going to have to get in against the best competition. And as I say, all those receivers I mentioned, you know, different plays. John Metchie left at grade 9. You know, and he's an interesting guy. His three older brothers all played football. One of them, Royce, is the safety for the Calgary Stampeders. They all stay. I think one of them went out to Atlantic Canada, one of the conferences out there. But he was the youngest brother, and I believe he's the first one that, you know, his family said, okay, you know, you can go away as a grade 9. He went to Maryland and then finished up in New Jersey. But obviously you see, I mean, when you see a Canadian as a sophomore starting at the University of Alabama, that's a heck of a player.
Dave Naylor from TSN.ca is joining us. Yeah, and you mentioned John Metchie's from Brampton. So is Josh Palmer, is a senior at Tennessee. Can you the minor football program in Ottawa, Dave, when it's up and running, unfortunately not running this year, but sure, is very, very strong. You spend a lot of time here.
Yep.
What is it like in the Toronto area? What is the the equivalent of how strong a minor football program we have here in Ottawa?
You know, I'll give you my opinion on this, but I'm by no means an expert. And you're right. I mean, it was funny all those years that there was no CFL team in Ottawa. You know, I used to say to people, I said, you know, this still might be the best football town in the country. You know, when it comes to actually producing players, I'm not sure there's a better, you know, development system and more productive development system than there is in Ottawa. And in Toronto, I think it's a suburban game, right? And so you have things like in places like Mississauga, there's tons of good football players come out of Mississauga. In fact, I believe the Toronto Argonauts, if there had been a season this year, would have had three receivers from Mississauga. Nataya Jay being one of them, Juwan Breskison being another, and the third one, whose name is going to escape me, but he's the one whose brother plays for the Raptors, so they took him in the draft this year. And all three guys are Mississauga guys. Brampton is another area. And really, if you look at Brampton, I mean, you go across the league, there are guys, you know, Jerome Messam, an outstanding Canadian twice, is from Brampton. Shamari Williams, who was the number one pick of the draft about a decade ago from Brampton. I believe Mike Edom, the safety in Saskatchewan, I believe he's a Brampton guy. I mean, Rob Maver was a punter forever for the Calgary Stampeders. I mean, you just go across and look at guys from Brampton and they say, it's amazing when you think of this weekend. You got Tennessee, Alabama playing on Saturday. I mean, that's an SEC headline game. And you got two starting receivers, one on Tennessee, one in Alabama, who've known each other since Pee Wee football. like that. We did a real fun thing this week. We got them together on a Skype call, and you can see that on TSN.ca. My interview with those two guys, and it was funny afterwards. I was looking at some of the quotes from Josh Palmer when he was doing with the Tennessee media, and one of his quotes was, he said, "Yeah, I've known John like all my life. I just got off a Skype call with him, right?" And that was the one that I'd done with him because we thought it'd be really fun to get them together. I think it's more like, where it's a suburban game, not necessarily a downtown game in terms of the players that I've seen produced. The high school game, it can be really strong in the city. But in terms of, like, the minor football development programs, those areas like Brampton and Mississauga really churn out players.
Dave, when we look at it, obviously level of competition, probably could even get into the rules. But really, when you look at the high school and collegiate football experience in the United States, it's going to be virtually impossible to keep any of these top kids, right? On every level, it would check the box that you got to head down south, or you want to head down south.
Well, and again, I think it's more important for certain positions, right? And if you look at Nathan Rourke, who was the starting quarterback at the University of Ohio for 3 years, he went down and finished his high school in the U.S. you know, I'm trying to think of other guys that have played. I'm trying to remember what Brandon Bridge did, whether he went down and did that or not. I mean, I'm talking about quarterbacks now. It's amazing that Jesse Palmer didn't, you know, that he played, right, went from Myers Riders to, you know, starting games at the University of Florida. So I think it's probably more important at certain positions than others. And I don't want to sound like I'm being disrespectful to Canadian high school football, but, you know, the sport is the, just in terms of pure numbers, you know, that play the sport in the U.S. And in a high school system where they pay their coaches. I mean, that's a job, right? So there's obviously, when you're paying people, there's going to be more accountability and more expected than when you're not. And you've got the numbers. It's funny. For all the time I've covered football, which is, you know, most of my life, I'd actually never been to a U.S. high school football game. My ex-wife is from Tennessee, and we went to her high school reunion, like, I don't know, this 20 years, 15 years ago or something like that. And I went to a game, and I've never been to a U.S. high school football game. And it was in suburban Memphis, and there were about, you know, 8,000 people there and two full marching bands. But the thing that really stood out to me was just how crisp the game was, you know, how fast. Like, when the ball was snapped, every player knew where to be, you know what I mean? And it was just kind of that crispness that you don't often see at that age, you know, did love some football in Canada. Hmm.
Tell everybody a little bit, because I'll be the first to acknowledge that Ajo at Clemson, who got his first touchdown last week. I mean, he's catching passes from Trevor Lawrence, who people acknowledge may be the best quarterback to come out of U.S. college football in a long time. He's 18 years old. His backstory is very interesting. So kind of fill everybody in on his story.
It is amazing. And I'm actually working on a story right now about Ajo. And to tell you, just to give you some perspective on it, yesterday I interviewed a professor at the University of Northern Michigan, who specializes in the impact of meatpacking plants on prairie towns and cities.
Wow, that's so going deep, Dave.
That is going deep, okay? But just to tell you a little bit about his story, he's from Brooks, Alberta, which is a town about 200 kilometers, I think, southwest of or southeast of Calgary. Brooks, Alberta, 25 years ago, was a prairie town, like most prairie towns that you would experience driving across the country. They expanded, the meatpacking plant in that city expanded rapidly, kind of starting in the late 90s, and they had a great need for workers who came from all over the world to take those jobs, including a lot of them from Africa and the Sudan. The Ajo's family, he's from the Sudan, and his mother works in the plant in Brooks, Alberta. He's one of five kids. He was, a great basketball and football player just as a kid. Very ambitious, was dreaming of the big time from the time he, you know, could understand what the big time was. He left at grade 9 to go to high school in Edmonton, where he played for Brock Ralph, the former CFL receiver, was his head coach at Harry Ainlay High School in Edmonton. And then for his final year, he went to the Clearwater Academy down in Florida, where he got seen. He told me, got off the plane. There was, an offer basically from Indiana, one from Florida Atlantic, played a little bit, got an offer from Alabama, got invited to Clemson's camp. And it was very quickly that he was recognized. He's a high jump record guy in Alberta, was really on the fence about whether he was going to pursue basketball or football right to the very end of his high school days. And, I mean, listen to Dabo Swinney, the head coach at Clemson, talk about him this week, and say, one thing he said really jumped out. He said, I've never really had a player like a Joe. I mean, Joe is 18 years old. He's 6'4", 220. I don't know if you saw the highlight of his touchdown last week, but you see some of his moves, and he's still very gangly. He's still growing into his body. But it is a phenomenal story, how a Sudanese immigrant family come into a prairie town in Canada, raises a Clemson receiver, and raises that town, really helped raise that kid.
Yeah.
It's an amazing story when you see the number of people who recognize that, his mother with five kids coming from the Sudan probably wasn't going to be driving him in the minivan, three times a week to practice football practice, right? There's a lot of people in that community that stepped up and have really helped this kid as a human being and a football player. And I mean, he's just a freshman. I am so excited to see what this kid is going to do. And you just know at this point in time, when you're going to Clemson to play receiver in 2020, you got some talent. You got some potential.
Yeah, absolutely. Boy, and you think about it. I mean, the four names that you've mentioned, starting with Chase Claypool, obviously, going to Notre Dame, and you got Josh Palmer at Tennessee, John Metchie at Alabama, now a JoJo at Clemson. This is not Southwest Eastern Louisiana Tech we're talking about. These are four elite programs that these kids are not only going to, but playing, starting these places.
Terrell Janna at Virginia, another ACC school. Jarrett Wayne at Pittsburgh, another ACC school. He's just a sophomore. I mean, it really does remind me a lot of, and again, we've seen kids at other positions, but we're not used to seeing Canadians hold the ball. We're used to seeing them block and tackle.
Right, yeah, absolutely.
And putting their hands on the football. But it really does remind me of the wave that we saw come, you know, in NCAA basketball 10, 15 years ago, where you're like, oh, there's a guy here. And all of a sudden you couldn't keep track of how many there were. And that's kind of seems what's happening, at least in the receiver position. And and a lot of this is just, it's all happening at the same time.
Yep.
Chase Claypool exploding in the NFL and these guys doing all these things behind him in college. It's exciting that we have something Canadian and football to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. When's your Joe story going to come out? Do you know?
It'll be probably still a couple of weeks away.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
okay.
It's a major dig into what I think is just a fantastic story.
Absolutely. Look forward to watching and reading about that and watching these guys on our television screens tomorrow. Should be a big day for Canadian football down south. Appreciate the time as always, Dave. Thanks for the time.
My pleasure, guys. Thank you.